This episode of Beyond the Uniform is sponsored by Audible.com, which is offering a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, not only will you find a link to get your free audiobook, but you'll also find book recommendations I've had from every single listener on the show. There are so many resources there. And, you know, for myself, I listen to audiobooks when I'm driving, when I'm biking, indoors, not outdoors. When I'm doing my trainer indoors, it is a great way to use what's called net time, no extra time, to learn about something, to get inspired, and to improve your own knowledge database. So check that out at beyondtheuniform.io/books. We're grateful for their sponsorship. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and my goal is to help military veterans navigate their civilian career. I do that by talking to members of the armed forces and learning about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for any other veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 253 with Jeremy Hendricks.
Don't pigeonhole yourself. Understand that you're never locked into a specific path. That was the case for me with international studies. And I think the hard thing to grasp with that is you need time and distance from that specific experience. Meaning, I remember at one point, you know, in my life, my international studies degree might have been like a very, compelling reason for, you know, a bullet on a resume or something like that. But as more time goes by, and you get more experience under your belt, I believe that you distance yourself from, you know, whatever you majored in undergrad. You're not locked into anything.
Well, I loved my chat with Jeremy. He is a man who values authenticity in his personal and professional life, and he found a company, GoPro, that prizes that as well. In this interview, we do a deep dive on both the product management and product marketing roles. We talk about business school and how to evaluate whether this is the right path for you. We talk about how what you did in undergrad and what you do in the military can inform what you do in the civilian career, but it doesn't have to dictate your path. And we talk about why veterans may love working at a company with a physical product like GoPro. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you check out, at a bare minimum, the pickdeer.com link to all of Jeremy's GoPro videos and photos. It's inspiring and incredible. And also, he mentions a video on YouTube. It's a 52nd video. Highly recommend checking that out. I also highly recommend you check out Beyond the Uniform's coaching program, where we connect you with a subsidized career and executive coach to help you figure out your next career move, whether that's whether or not to get out of the military or whether or not to switch jobs after being out for 20 years. It's an incredible value, and I'm really proud of the program that we're offering. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Jeremy. Joining me today in Manhattan is Jeremy Hendricks. Jeremy, thanks for joining me on Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. Glad to be here.
So quick background for listeners about Jeremy. He is a product marketing manager at GoPro. He started out at the University of Scranton and served in the U.S. Army for 9 years as an Army Signal Corps officer, and then with the U.S. Army Special Forces as a detachment commander, where his team specialized in military freefall ops and special reconnaissance. After his military service, he got his MBA at the Berkeley Haas School of Business, where he did an internship with GoPro. And since graduation, he's worked at GoPro for nearly 4 years now, starting as a product manager before becoming a product marketing manager. So Jeremy, to start things off, could you talk us through the first transition you went through from the military to thinking of going to business school or going directly into a job?
Yeah, sure. I knew that I wanted to get out. I had reached a point in my military career where I had essentially done everything that I wanted to do, and I never intended to make a 20-year career out of the military. So when I was exploring different options, I had a lot of friends who were applying to business school. And at the time, I was like, what is business school? I wasn't really sure, you know, what the intent is by going there, what the options were available. So through talking with them and through talking with various members of different programs, veterans networks, it really just sounded like a good idea for me to kind of make a little bit smoother of a transition into civilian life versus going from straight to military right to a civilian job. I looked at a number of different programs, did a little bit of research, and admittedly, I was probably more concerned with like winding up in California for a bit than I was on the program. But, you know, looking back on the decisions that I made and in terms of the program that I went to, Berkeley House was 100%, you know, wouldn't change a thing. It was a great culture fit, and it really helped the transition from military to the civilian world and then into the private sector as well, too. But yeah, I'd made that decision probably toward the end of my detachment command time, right around the time where you're, you know, trying to decide what the next step is. You're looking at possible staff positions, et cetera. And it seemed like the right time for me.
And I know that's a question that listeners frequently have, but any advice on how to approach that decision of whether an MBA is right for a member who's currently on active duty?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, you don't know what you don't know going into that decision and into that lifestyle. And what I mean by that is, and I'll use myself as an example, my time in the military was very, you know, as so many of veterans out there, like so engrossing. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of life. It's the way you think. It's how you communicate. So I wasn't one of these people who were listening to, you know, this American Life podcast or really didn't have a lot of, you know, knowledge of what was out there. So really when I started out on that, you know, that path of isn't breaking, it started by talking to people in grams, not just from my branch, but in other branches and people who went to these programs and are, you know, had the jobs that, you know, love to have. Leaving the military. So I have a ton of resources, transition in terms of books, podcasts, et cetera. They were useful, but my most useful tool was, you know, speaking to these veterans in these programs who were able to provide perspective of, you know, and really ask the question of why are you doing this and what do you hope to do after it? And I think having that question first and foremost, even if you don't know the answer to it, that really helped guide my decision to end up going for an MBA.
That's great. I think that's such good advice, too, just to have those coffee chats or virtual coffee chats. I think listeners will find most veterans are very open to that. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to respond. People get busy. Emails get lost. So
yeah.
Maybe one out of five count on. But I think that's such a great way to inform your decision, just having those conversations and trying to figure out what's right for you because it's such a unique decision for everyone.
Exactly. And, you know, even if you're not considering an MBA or you're, you know, open to whatever, you know, I think these organizations are great too. You know, for people that do respond back to veterans who reach out, even if they decide, hey, the MBA, you know, isn't for me. I've never met a veteran who from these programs that weren't willing to discuss, okay, if the MBA is not the right option, you know, give this a consideration. You know, here's something that I ran into, or here's someone that I met over the past few years that might be able to give you a hand. So it's not just MBA specific and applying to program specific. You know, if you're someone that is considering a post-military career, I think in general, they're great resources to reach out to.
And could you walk us through, actually, let's back up. And I'm betting that 99.9% of listeners are familiar with GoPro. And just personal confession, whenever I find or used to fly Virgin America, they had a GoPro channel. And whether I was working or just chilling out, I would always have that on in the background. It's just like the most inspiring video content that you guys put together. But if someone's not familiar,
yeah.
Could you just kind of share a little bit more about your company?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for that. We love hearing that people are getting inspiration from the content we put out. So much appreciated. GoPro, we make, you know, the world's most versatile action camera. And it started by Nick Woodman in the early 2000s, and it's progressed into, you know, assets for making the camera that's rugged, durable, can go anywhere, give you incredible looking photos and videos. We also provide the software to be able to tell that story, to provide the edits. And really, we're a really aspirational company, and we have such a strong culture. That's one of the things that drew me to GoPro right at the start of deciding to get out. GoPro was actually my, you know, it was my dream gig. I remember being on my last deployment, similar to your story about watching the videos on, you know, Virgin flight. I remember being on my last deployment watching, like, some of the previous launch videos and just thinking, like, wow, it'd be awesome if I was able to go work for a company like that. And it worked out. So us as a company, we, as I said, make and manufacture, the small, easily portable, rugged, waterproof, and excellent quality in terms of video, photo, cameras that people have just been using for such compelling uses. Everything from like our traditional verticals, like snow sports, air, ski, et cetera, underwater snorkeling, and then the creativity that people have shown over the years of how they're using their GoPro. It's just really, really compelling, awesome footage to watch, and a culture to back that up with too.
And what it sounds like you were thinking about GoPro even while you were in the military. How did the internship come about, and what did that experience look like?
Yeah, when I got to the Bay Area, when I got to Berkeley Haas, it was definitely one of my target companies. So I started, trying to, decide what value I could bring to GoPro to wind a job there. And, from your graduate school and your business school experience that you, in between your first and second year, you do an internship with a company. And I was put in touch with someone from their operations team. And then they kind of put me in touch with their product team. And then lo and behold, I found out that a few years prior to, we were actually doing some testing for one of their previous products, Hero 3 Plus, when I was on my Special Forces detachment. And oddly enough, they had all of the old questionnaires, all the survey and all the information that my team had provided. So it was a really kind of full circle, serendipitous loop to be applying for this and then wind up there and then see like these old product questionnaires with my name on it and then like my old teammates' information on it as well too. So that was kind of like the way in. But then I wanted to also build my experience as a product manager. I really wanted to lean in towards product and product development. So that was really the intro to the product team. And then not only that, but then what I was focusing on at Berkeley and just, what I brought as a veteran too was really the main, reason why I wound up there.
And I want to talk more about, because you've had a lot of different product experience at arguably one of the best product companies in the world. Could you explain for someone else who's on active duty and might not be familiar with the titles? You started as a product definition intern, and then once you joined full-time, it was as a product manager, and then you progressed to product marketing manager. Could you kind of describe what that role is and more importantly, the type of things that you did day-to-day?
Yeah, sure. So product management and product marketing, they're essentially two separate tracks. One doesn't necessarily lead to the other, but both complement each other very well. So when I started in product management, if you imagine, you have an idea for what a product can do, what problem it's trying to solve and how it what you want it to do, for us, we want to enable people to, capture and share their world in, incredible and really compelling ways. I really love that aspect of having that really aspirational nature to the product. And I wanted to start out by, learning how those products get developed. Do you start with, hey, I want it to do X, Y, Z, or, who we're trying to sell to, et cetera. And it was really fun to learn what product development is from taking something to, just an idea all the way to something sitting on a shelf and something you could order off of like Amazon and Best Buy, et cetera. What that day-to-day looks like, it's a mix of being creative. Like we said, what does that product look like? How is that, going to solve the problem that you identify that you want to solve? But then it's, it's a lot of, for me, it was a pretty steep learning curve. It's a lot of working day in, day out with the developers, the people who are actually going to, code the software, the people who are actually going to help decide what materials to use for the outside of the camera and balancing that against, the ruggedness that we want, the decision of what sensor to put in the camera because we want to provide this resolution photo video. So it's this continual process of an idea, taking that into concrete, actionable steps and concrete decisions. And then keeping, reiterating on that idea until it's, on shelf. And then simultaneously with most, consumer electronic devices companies, especially with us, it's kind of like building the race car while you're driving it. You know, while you're getting that product that, you know, you've made these concrete decisions on, you're also doing the planning for the next product after that too. So it's this cascading, you know, rotation of, hey, this ideate on what the product is, execute on it, and then simultaneously, you know, thinking about what's next. So it's really development heavy, a lot of like late night meetings with engineers and, you know, firmware developers who are just, you know, trying to help you execute and bring to life this vision that you started out with. I love my time as a product manager. It proved such invaluable experience for me. But then I wanted to get, you know, a little bit more experience and increase my, my breadth of knowledge. You know, yeah, I mentioned before, you don't know what you don't know. And being in product management as my first, job post-military, I wanted to explore a little bit. And the marketing side, it was an opportunity to, kind of take that product and infuse some additional creativity in it as well, too. So when a product manager is focused on what the product is, what it does, and how it serves the customer, in product marketing, we're product focused, but we're also, you know, we're discussing how is it positioned? You know, what's the spirit of the product? How is it going to resonate with our audiences? How do we expand those audiences? And it was a way to get a different view and work with different cross-functional teams that I wasn't able to do with regular product marketing.
I love my perception is on the product side, like it really does, like you said, it gives you exposure to everyone. Like it sounds like you're working with different engineers and you're working with like every part of the company because you need to know how to make the product successful. So you're getting that customer feedback and engineers what's possible. Yep. And Mark, it's just like the whole gamut of things. I'm curious what led you to believe when you were at business school that you would be in that you would like product marketing? In particular, I'm just thinking of someone who's on active duty who maybe the only thing they know about product marketing or product management and product marketing is what you just described. But what might be an indication that they might really enjoy this type of career path and signs that maybe it's not for them?
You know, to be completely honest, it's something that I targeted while in business school, but I didn't realize that it was the right path for me until I actually got there, you know. And that's one thing where with all the veterans that I've talked to who are thinking about making that transition is, you know, you don't know until you try it, you know, regardless of how many resources you have, who you talk to, you know, there are certain things about, you know, feeling right about being in the position that you're in that you won't realize until you're there. For me, what made it click was, especially starting off in product management, was coming from the military. In product management, there's definitely a little bit more, you know, black and white decisions and inputs that involve developing a product. You know, we have so many people asking for this specific feature, or we have this much feedback. And it's a little bit, and especially when working with engineers who you craft like the overall vision, but you have to take that vision and put that down into, you know, on the ground, actionable decisions and results. I think that's something that, you know, you could find that in multiple industries, but I think with product, it's kind of hard to dispute a physical product sitting in front of you and how well it's doing out in the market. So I think that's one aspect that really, you know, that resonated with me in terms of product management. You know, it's that taking something very creative, but actually turning it into an actionable result, which I feel like for a lot of veterans transitioning into the civilian world, sometimes depending on the position, that the effects of what they're doing might not always be 100% clear. And then for product marketing, you know, it's just an evolution. You know, it's the next step in terms of, I talked about, I got that experience and my, you know, my feet wet with product management, and then wanted to expand a bit. Then I was okay with bringing in some of the, you know, creative aspects to it, and some of the more, you know, amorphous marketing concepts where that might have been a little bit more difficult hitting the ground running right at the start. But having a really deep-seated base in product was really helped with that transition.
And looking back in retrospect, how essential is an MBA to the career path you've had so far?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, and I have a pretty standard response to that question. It really depends on the person. You know, each person's individual story is so unique, and based on what they want to do, where they come from, what their experience is. For me, I can only speak personally. It was pretty vital. Just given that for me to show up on, you know, GoPro's doorstep, even just with having done the product testing, it would have been a much larger leap for them to take the chance on me too, without having some type of, okay, he's transitioned into the civilian world and, you know, understands, you know, certain, the baseline level of, you know, even just down to lingo of like being in a civilian job. And also just the, you know, demonstration that, hey, I am putting an emphasis on education, and also not underestimating that transition and what it takes to not only finish out your military career, but also go into a civilian, successfully go into a civilian job. Depending on what the industry is, I mean, I think, for me, it's been vital, but I think for each individual person, depending on what they want to do, they really need to talk to people that are actually doing it and have been doing it for a while to see if it makes sense for them. You know, if the MBA for a veteran is just to, you know, check a block off, I would just question, you know, hey, why are you doing this? Well, how is this going to help you get to where you want to go? But if it's a really, you know, tangible reason as to why you're doing it, like for me, I needed that transition period. Admittedly wasn't ready to go right into the civilian sector. It was vital for me.
And for listeners, I'll add this in the show notes, but Jeremy's got a profile at pickdeer.com, and if you want any motivation on either why to buy a GoPro or why to work there, just scrolling through the images he has are just, they're so incredible. And obviously, Jeremy leads a pretty active life between skydiving and rock climbing and all sorts of outdoorsy stuff, but the photos are really epic. But on top of that, Jeremy, any advice for veterans thinking of working at GoPro or a company like them, and any reasons they should consider GoPro?
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're someone, for GoPro and companies like GoPro, I think if you're someone that values the culture above anything else. For me, I knew coming out of Special Forces that I wouldn't be happy with a job that was just a job. I think that's something that I learned about myself during my time in service, and it's something that, you know, I realized was still a really important part of me when I was in business school, and even now at GoPro, it's just as important that I feel passion for what I do and for the organization that I'm employed or associated with. So if you're looking at companies like GoPro or any other type of like really aspirational companies, it's a mix of you know, embracing and really reveling in that culture, but also understanding that there are specific functions within that culture that need to be fulfilled, and kind of mapping your decisions and what you decide to focus in on best serving those functions as well too.
And you had talked about when you first joined GoPro that it was a really big, steep learning curve. And I'm curious if someone listening is interested in product management or product marketing, I imagine, you know, most, if not all of this was learning on the job, but have you found any resources, helpful book, podcast, conference, just anything that's helped you in your career that you would recommend to listeners?
Yeah, you know, I, aside from GoPro and tech in general, coming out of the military, I knew that I wanted to stay in the outdoor space and really like have a, you know, an outdoors oriented company. So some of the ones that I really like are Wild Ideas Worth Living, put on by REI Co-op. That's a great, really a great with storytelling, but also just this really eclectic group of stories of really inspirational and aspirational people who are out there not only creating, you know, businesses around their dreams and their passions, but also sharing their really compelling stories with it as well too. And then for me, you know, I mentioned, you know, this American life. That's one thing I know that's probably like, duh, everyone listens to this American life. But, you know, when I was in the military, I wasn't listening to it. So especially getting out of the military and going to a place like Berkeley, like podcasts or resources that kind of expanded your view of not just of your industry or what you hope your industry to be, but just the greater society in general was super helpful. Because not only the steep learning curve in terms of starting a GoPro, you know, it was a steep learning curve in terms of just transitioning from the military and becoming a civilian and being around people who might have not have ever known anyone in the military, and understanding that as a representative of the military, as a veteran, you know, you're representing the military, but also the onus is on you to, you know, be accepting and, you know, learn the things about the people around you that you're unfamiliar with as well.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll add both of those, Wild Ideas Worth Living and This American Life. I hadn't actually heard of Wild Ideas Worth Living, but I'm adding it right now on Stitcher as we speak. It sounds incredible. I really appreciate REI. And since moving to Denver from the Bay Area, I've probably dropped $2,000 or $3,000 at REI. It's just very convenient for getting in the outdoors. But that's great. And I love that thought too, of just kind of acclimating and using these resources to connect with those around you and kind of figure out more about yourself and what you want to do. I wonder with one question I had for you is also just kind of how your undergrad has played into your work. So you did international studies undergrad. You work in product marketing now at GoPro. Do you have any advice for people? I hear from listeners a lot things that make me think that the military population, I was probably no different, that we can tend to pigeonhole ourselves. So ourselves off of what we did in undergrad. And then also a lot of times like, hey, well, someone will tell me, oh, this is what I did in the military, which, you know, from my viewpoint, it's like, okay, if you want to go into a really adjacent field like government contracting, what you did in the military probably matters. But if you're doing something different, it just doesn't play a role. And so I'm just kind of curious between, you know, jumping out of planes with special forces in the Army and international studies undergrad, any advice on what role that plays in what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of, you know, don't pigeonhole yourself. You know, even aside from veterans and people, I would, if you just took a canvas of, you know, general population of how many people are doing something in their industry now that directly relates to their undergrad, I think it would be pretty, you know, the numbers would, you know, kind of skew towards a lot of people aren't doing exactly what they intended to with their undergrad degree. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Understand that you're never locked into a specific path. That was the case for me with international studies. And I think the hard thing to grasp with that is you need time and distance from that specific experience. Meaning, I remember at one point, you know, in my life, my international studies degree might've been like a very, you know, compelling reason for, you know, a bullet on a resume or something like that. But as more time goes by, you know, and you get more experience under your belt, I believe that you distance yourself from, you know, whatever you majored in undergrad. You're not locked into anything. And for me, you know, coming from the military, serving special forces, being an Army officer, that was 10 times more compelling than anything that I could have done while I was undergrad. So don't pigeonhole yourself. You know, your story is what you craft it, and you're not locked into anything.
I love that. I love what you're saying about the time and distance from the experience. And it just makes me think, like, for me, I was electrical engineering undergrad, and I'm sure that helped on submarines, but it hasn't really influenced anything I do. But I'm also sure that that's like, you know, that and my military experience, all of that, that it shapes who we are. It shapes how we view the world. It shapes just kind of different tools we have. But it's not like anything I'm doing is related now to nuclear engineering. Nothing that I'm doing right now is related to electrical engineering. I'm still very grateful for those experiences. But I also feel grateful for not feeling locked into either of those. I hate a double E. I'm like, if I was doing that for a living, I'd be miserable.
yeah.
Well, we covered a lot of ground today, Jeremy. I'm just kind of, I always like to make space for the final question is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
Yeah, you know, I think the major, one of the major things I mentioned earlier was, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you have an inclination that, you know, there's something out there that you might want to pursue and you might get inspired by, talk to people and explore, and don't pigeonhole yourself into saying, well, that'd be cool if I could work for GoPro, but I come from this background. You know, look at your background, see how you could shape it to that, and if it doesn't 100% map, make good positive decisions that would eventually lead to your end goal. I know that sounds like kind of generic advice, but it's the truth, right? You were a double E major, I was international studies major. You know, neither one of us are really doing now. If we had pigeonholed ourselves years ago, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So keep an open mind with it. And that's sometimes hard to do with coming from the military, especially when you're navigating, uncharted waters. The second major point is, and I learned this by doing some parts of it well, and I learned by not doing some parts of it well. Don't underestimate what it's like to transition out of the military. You know, regardless of what brought you to that decision of serving, regardless of why you got out, regardless of what you did or how long you served for, don't underestimate what it's going to be like to go from that lifestyle to a completely different one. And really, you know, for those who have already made the decision to get out or are currently out with, you know, a short amount of time having passed, really take the time to, you know, think about your time in the service, how that's affecting your life now, and how you want to take the best of that to move forward with it. That transition is not an easy one by any means, especially if you were someone who, you know, essentially defined yourself by the military and what you were doing in the military. So really take the time to, you know, have a little bit of a period of the introspection, ask yourself, hey, this was my service. This is the path I want to go forward. And really think about it.
I think that's great. I mean, I would second that. If I had one piece of advice to give to veterans, it's to not underestimate that transition. And I also appreciate what you're saying about the time for reflection and improving self-knowledge. And I'm grateful for, I'm probably heavily influenced by having seen all these incredible photos of you, but you just seem like a man who kind of embodies this sense of freedom, of the freedom that you had when you left the military to explore something completely new and to chart your own way, but then also the freedom in the things that you do in your personal life, just to be unencumbered and just trying new things and experimenting and really living life to its fullest. So I really value your perspective on the show today and the advice you've given to listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. I appreciate it. It's for me, it comes down to one of my most important values is just to remain authentic. I think that that's incredibly important for veterans getting out. You know, I think of the question that you posed in terms of what for someone wanting to apply to GoPro or a brand like that. I think authenticity is something that is not only needed, but for veterans, you know, we're always going to be veterans at the end of the day. You know, 20, 30 years go by, I'm always going to be a Green Beret at heart. But taking that and taking the best aspects of that and really providing like an authentic, my best authentic self to whoever I interacted with. And that's not even just in the professional world, but also just in my personal life as well, too. I think that's an important factor to keep in mind as well.
You know, when you say that, I mean, I love that advice. When you say that, this is just kind of off the cuff, but it's like, I think one of the things that I appreciate about GoPro, just an outsider's perspective, is like when I'm watching these videos, they're extremely authentic, and I'm not really active on Instagram, and a lot of times I feel an aversion to that because it feels like you're selecting one tiny moment and making it look better than it is. But what I love about GoPro, it's like it's capturing like what happened. It's just in the moment. It's right there. It's authentic. And of course, it's, you know, split down from hours and hours of footage, but it's still like this real life event. And it's just funny to hear you say that because I can definitely see that with you being authentic. But it's also great. Like it seems like you found a culture that values authenticity.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, a great example of that is the GoPro Hero 7 Black Million Dollar Challenge. It was such an incredible launch and it's such an incredible product that this past year, instead of using our own in-house media team, we actually sourced all the content for the Hero 7 Black highlight reel from our community. The rules were simple: buy Hero 7 Black and upload your best videos to our awards portal, and then you have a chance to take home an equal share of $1 million. We had over 25,000 different submissions, and 56 creators were chosen to be part of the highlight reel. That also spanned 25 different countries. You know, it's just a huge testament to the authenticity that we were talking about and the passion and the creativity of our users. Everything from people screaming on their way down, jumping out of airplanes, to a little girl trying to decide what to name her baby chicken. It's just an awesome video that shows the passion, creativity, and, you know, really speaks to authenticity as well, too.
That's awesome. I just found it. And so for listeners, I'll add that to the show notes and definitely check that out. Check out Jeremy's own photos here. But thank you so much for your time today. Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.